Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Archean Chemical Industries Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management team. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ranjit Pendurthi. We wish you all a very warm welcome to our Q3 FY24 earnings call today. I'm joined by Mr. Raghunathan, our CFO, Mr. Rajeev Kumar, DGM Finance, and SGA, our internal investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and the investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. I'll take this opportunity to give you a quick snapshot on the industry and recent developments of the company. Post that, Mr. Raghunathan, as usual, will walk you through the operational and financial performance of the company. To start with the industry highlights, over the last few quarters, there's been some moderation in the business performance across the chemical industries at large. As you all know, the sector has faced some headwinds over the last three, four quarters, and we believe that continues to happen as well. China, of course, the large player on the domestic impact as well as overseas, continues to encounter hurdles as the recovery in domestic consumption is slower than expected, resulting in an overall downturn in end-user industries. As you're all aware from news and various other sources, their economy is struggling, especially on the construction sector, and thereby impacting many downstream industries as well. However, in recent times, we observed some stabilization in certain end-user industries, restoring and sustaining demand for specific chemicals like bromine. China, as you're all aware, is one of the largest manufacturers of downstream bromine derivatives. Despite the current industry-wide destocking phase and demand moderation, Archean Chemicals has not only withstood these external obstacles but has also recorded consistent performance. Coming to the performance highlights, we're glad to inform you that the company was able to report a healthy performance for the quarter, registering a total revenue of rupees 4,227 million for Q3 FY24, a growth of 13% year-on-year basis. On the bromine side specifically, during the quarter, we did see some demand pickup in bromine, as well as some of the clients have started pushing back their inventory levels to limited demand and are now restocking. In the domestic market, it's been more resilient. We did some business with agrochemical players who are facing headwinds at the moment, and offtake is lower than usual. So we see that as well moderating shortly. Due to, of course, the global geopolitical tensions, we have seen some additional inquiries from various customers. However, we believe this to be momentary and not sustainable in the longer term. On the pricing front, bromine prices have moderated, as you're aware from the numbers, but they remain around the $2.75-$3 mark. In the long term, we are confident to generate steady business based on the contracts we have and the relationships we maintain with our global customers. On industrial salt, we are delighted to inform you that our quarterly volume run rate has remained steady at more than 1 million tons. Industrial salt, as you're aware, finds applications in a vast array of end-user sectors. However, our primary clientele consists of chlorine and chlorine derivative manufacturers in the Asian market who require grade one industrial salt. There are limited players of this quality in the world, and we are one of the handful producers of the same. and able to deliver such large volumes as well. The derivative industry is witnessing the advent of new areas, especially in the Middle East, and our geographical spread continues. Based on our strategic location, we are well positioned to serve this ongoing growing global demand. The third one is on sulfate of potash. We're getting some new business clients and have done a good amount of business this quarter. We're doing several trials in the market, both domestic and overseas, to make the product profile even more varied. We'll also be able to serve our domestic clients, and we expect this business to grow meaningfully in the latter part of the next financial year. Coming to a greenfield project, the bromine derivatives facility coming up in Jhagadia, Gujarat. The project is progressing as per schedule, and we anticipate starting the first phase in this quarter, subject to obtaining necessary clearances from the regulatory authorities. That is it from my side. Now I will request our CFO, Mr. Raghunathan, to run through the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And a very good morning to all the participants on the call. We are pleased to report a notable performance for this quarter. To give you a summary of Q3 FY24, as MD has indicated in his speech, the company has registered a total revenue of ₹4,227.2 million. This giving a growth of close to around 13.5% on a YoY basis. Bromine has contributed around 27% of the total revenue. Industrial salt has around 68%, and the balance 5% has come from SOP. This is on the product mix. Moving to EBITDA. EBITDA for this quarter stood at around 1,559.8 million with a margin of around 37%. Net profit after tax stood at around 1,021.9 million, a growth of around 4% on a YoY basis. Moving to 9 months FY24 highlights, total revenue is around 10,790.6 million, soft by around 1.4% when compared to YoY numbers. Moving to the business mix, bromine contributed around 32%, industrial salt is around 64%, and the balance 4% has come from SOP. Export market has contributed around 75%, and the balance 25%, of course, is from the domestic market. EBITDA for 9 months stood at around 4,090.9 million with a margin of around 38%. The net profit is around 2,627.1, a growth of around 6.5% when compared to the 9 months of the previous year. We are also happy to share that the Board of Directors have declared a second interim dividend of Rupee 1 per equity for this FY24 amounting to 12.34 crores. It is further to be noted that the company had already declared a first interim dividend in the previous quarter, and thus with this second interim dividend, the total amount disbursement for by way of the dividends aggregates to around 24.38 crores. With this, we conclude the speech. And the floor is open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JMPMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question is, you know, we have seen that the downward spiral of the bromine prices got arrested, say, about 3-4 months ago. And broadly, the assumption was that we will be able to get a little bit more firmer contracts in the longer term, you know, business. So if you can give some color with respect to, you know, prospectively when we look at this business, you know, how do we see the contracts getting signed? And, you know, as you mentioned, $2.9 also seems to be lower than the long-term average. So how do you see the demand scenario, you know, kind of pushing the prices, especially in the light of, you know, the Israel situation at this point of time?
So thank you for that question, Mr. Sudarshan. As I said in my commentary, I think there is a demand moderation So a couple of factors contribute to the bromine pricing. Specifically to us, we are performing on our long-term contracts, so I think that is continuous. We have a backlog of almost close to 4,000 tons of orders. So fulfilling that, itself keeps us on a fairly even path. But with regards to the pricing of bromine, yes, I think in the context of the bromine prices coming down, it's got more to do with end-user industries. It's not so much about the requirement of bromine as a critical specialty chemical into what processes these companies do, especially in China. I think we anticipate that the pricing will continue maybe at current levels, give or take a few cents here and there. But having said that, I think the longer-term picture will emerge when the Chinese are able to stabilize on the export front, the Chinese are able to stabilize their end-user industries, especially on the derivatives aspect. With Israel, I think I said this maybe a couple of quarters ago when this question came up or in some other conversations with investors or shareholders, that we really didn't see too much of an impact from the Israel situation, and I don't think we are seeing much of an impact today either. I think shipments out of Israel are happening. Maybe I'll pay it at slightly more expensive because insurance premiums, marine insurance, etc., have gone up. But as such, we don't think there has been too much of a disruption to the supply chain as such. So as we have been competing before, I think we will continue to compete even now. So our focus remains on ensuring that our market stays intact and grows.
And with respect to the derivatives as the capacity is coming up, have we been able to get some contracts or visibility to this business?
I think, as I said in my last earnings call, we anticipated to start doing trials with customers in January this year, and I think we've stuck to that schedule. So we've started doing some sampling and trials with both domestic and overseas customers. So I think we're on track, and hopefully, once the trials are done, I think that's when we will start moving towards firmer negotiations on contracts and offtake.
So, sir, and in terms of costs, we had embarked on some cost-cutting measures. Are we largely done with it, and can we start seeing the benefits there from FY25 onward?
I think given the environment, I think all industries today are focusing on a continuous exercise of cost savings. I'm not sure how much of it is cutting because at the same time, we need to keep getting talented people on board. So I think our cost saving exercise is an ongoing process. Certain things have kicked in just this past month or so. So I think we'll start seeing some benefits in the coming quarters for sure. But I think it's an ongoing exercise always. It's about cost savings versus efficiency.
One final question before I join back is, so we have seen a change in inventory to the tune of about 37 crores this quarter. What is it specifically towards? Is it towards SOP or derivatives? Can you throw some color on that?
Sir, I'll take this question, sir.
Mr. Raghunath will take the question.
Mr. Roshan, basically, we have to see the operation for Q3, where our sales in all the three products in terms of quantity is much higher than the production. That means we are eating the opening stock. We are using the opening stock to do our sales. And so we can see that the entire cost that is coming up from the opening is sitting in the increase or decrease in inventory.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I got few of them. First, probably start with the bookkeeping question. Can you help us with the volume, sales volume for all the three products during this quarter?
Yeah, Mr. Sanjesh. Morning. For this quarter, the salt The sales from salt is around 1.3 million. Bromine is around 5,000, and SOP is around 4,300 tons.
Thank you. That's helpful. Second, now starting on the, again, picking up on the bromine pricing, we said that 2.75 to 2.9 is what you see as a steady state pricing. And if you look at the bromine prices for last, say, 7-8 years, the prices have averaged at above $3. Any reason why do you believe the prices will be lower than the long-term median in the bromine for us?
I think it's a view that we've taken, Sanjesh, that I think if you recall over the last couple of years in various discussions, we've always said, I think the pricing should be, you know, about $3.5 odd over a period of time. So we're not too far away from that, I think, trend. I think we've taken a bit of a conservative view, as we always do. And we've pegged it to the levels that I mentioned, you know, 2.75 odd. So during the quarters, you know, there may be some changes, little bit up, little bit down. But I think broadly, we are comfortable with that range. So it all flows back into, you know, us maintaining all the other parameters, you know, to ensure the margins remain intact. And I think that's our endeavor, to be on the conservative side and deliver numbers on that basis.
Fair enough, fair enough. Second, on the long-term contract, we generally have a long-term contract. Given that the demand situation remains muted, are you seeing longer-term contract being signed lower than what we have done historically?
I think definitely below the historical record prices. I think that's across all chemicals, not just bromine.
No, not prices. I was looking more from the volume perspective.
Volume, I think, you know, some part of it, I think, will continue. We're not seeing too much of, I think, a problem on the volume. I would say that some part of that also will start increasing when we do our downstream plant commissioning. As you're aware, you know, we're going to consume some part of the bromine there also. So we don't see too much of a challenge on volume.
Got it, got it. Now that we are already hit 5,000 mark in this quarter, do you believe that consuming the 28,000-29,000 of elemental bromine now looks possible in FY25?
I think that's our endeavor. If we do get a boost from external customers, not just our consuming ourselves, I think we will definitely look at doing that. But having said that, as it is today, if you ask me, I would probably take a more conservative number than that.
Got it. One question on the acquisition we announced on the Orient Carbon, which is largely into barytes and bentonites, while we are largely into the bromine, salt, and SOP. Can you help us understand what excites you about this business? What has led to the decision making of buying out this business?
Sure, good question. So I think Oren Hydrocarbon was a company that was started in 1990 by the promoter who was part of Schlumberger Oil Drilling. And subsequent to that, they had some financial difficulties, and we've just acquired that company. So that company is primarily into oil drilling fluids, so which you know, ties into our bromine derivatives business, where we also are going to be making oil drilling products, as you're aware. So I think the synergy there is a right fit, and also it allows us to expand our product portfolio while going into oil drilling companies and contracts. So we're able to today not only offer pure bromine related products, but also other specialized chemical products into oil drilling. So I think it expands our basket of product portfolio when we approach oil drilling customers.
And I guess this company has been shut for now, what, multi-years, right? How do we plan, and what is the kind of investment this company may require to come back into the shape so they can again start producing that much chemicals they have been there historically. And second follow-up again on the talent, I guess with such a long, the talent would have moved out of the company. How do we are looking at bringing but that talent back into the company in terms of employees, manufacturing, construction, and what is the level of investment from our side required to bring that operation, say, to their historical levels?
Sure. So I think with any acquisition, I think people is probably the most important thing that we need to focus on, followed by the funds required. So I think on the people front, there is already an existing team. We need to obviously, we've used, the top grade diligence people to evaluate prior to us doing the acquisition. So I think we are also in the process of signing with, shortly for an integration exercise of Orin with the company. And I think we've already recruited the people to lead it. The ex-promoter is also, going to be advising us on some of these products, certifications, etc. So I think we've covered most of those bases. The plants, as you said, have been, largely in operation for a couple of years, but some of them are brand new. So we don't anticipate too long to start up some of these facilities and get the products recertified with all the drilling companies. And I think from our perspective, we will be spending maybe between 20 and 30 crores on the revamp. So it's not a large sum of money.
No, it's very small. 20, 30 crores is fairly... And Ranjit, what was the peak revenue for this company historically? You have any?
Sanjay, it was around 430 crores.
And which year was this?
This was 2016.
Okay. And what was the EBITDA margin then for this entity?
Around 15%.
Around 15%. We should be doing better than this because...
Allow us some more time to work on this and maybe a quarter later we'll answer this.
No, that's fine. I'll come back probably next quarter to get more detail. One last bit on the bromine derivative side. Can you help us understand where are we in the entire process as the initial run, pilot run has been done or we are still in that process in terms of sampling? What is your internal assessment of the sample of the products which we have produced at the lab level, and where are we in the TBBA capex and commercialization?
So as you're aware, phase one is not having retardants, and that phase one, I think, as I said earlier, I think we have started doing the sampling with customers already in January, as we had projected in our earlier call, and feedback I think is very good because we've always said this from day one, that being an integrated producer gives us an advantage in terms of how we are positioning the bromine derivative. And I think that strength is going to play out, as we've always said. And the customers have given good feedback on the product, on the quality. So now I think we, as I said a few minutes ago in the earlier question, as we move forward, we will start trying to get more contract-driven projection going, but we hope that we will be able to commission that this quarter and then start doing the sales.
And on the TBBA, when it...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Maybe request you to rejoin the question queue. Yeah, several participants waiting for their turn, sir.
Yeah, I know. Just a follow-up for my existing question, then I'm done.
Sorry, Sanjesh, can you please repeat?
So we said that Q1 is when we are expecting TBBA plant to come up. Is that on the schedule?
I think at the moment, Q1 is what we're targeting for, but we anticipate, I would say, between Q1 and Q2 to be safe.
Okay, Q1 and Q2 to be safe. Done. Done.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for answering all the questions, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rusmik Oza from Nine Rays Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, and sir, congrats. Numbers have been commendable.
Sir, may I request you to use your handset, sir? Your audio is muffled.
Yeah, one second. Yeah, congrats on the good set of numbers, sir, because the chemical and specialty company numbers have been quite beaten down in the last quarter. I have two questions, sir. One is, the first phase of CapEx, you know, once it gets commissioned, you know, and what kind of revenue we can expect in FY25 from the first phase, and what kind of revenues can come in the second phase from the bromine derivatives?
So I think, thanks for the question. So I think, you know, we've always had a, I would say, a conservative view on how the business would shape up. And we've, I think, consciously avoided being too aggressive in how we see business growing, because our intention is not to compete quarter-on-quarter basis. I think our intention is to compete on the product portfolio over a period of time, because some of these things take time to be able to, you know, generate, I think, substantial revenues. So the business entry is primarily into promising fields and new fields that, you know, people from India are not in right now. So that's the endeavor of being in the bromine derivative business, right? To become a fully integrated manufacturer, so we compete globally. So I think, more specifically to your question, I think in FY25, we are targeting between 200-300 crores, on the lower end, from the derivative plant. And subsequently, I think, as the previous question, Sanjesh asked, when we ramp up and add the second phase of the flame retardant part of the project, then the revenue will obviously go up correspondingly.
Okay. Sir, a related question: what kind of margins we can, you know, expect from this bromine derivative as compared to a normal bromine business which we are doing as of now?
I think the bromine business obviously, you know, colors the margins part. But I think, on a combined basis, we've always said that, you know, we will be in that 35-40 mark. So I think that is what we'll continue to endeavor. I think Raju also wanted to add something.
Yeah, exactly. So, the numbers which Ranjit sir gave was on a capacity utilization of around 70% for the first phase of product. And like we have said in our previous interaction, that margin over and above the market prices of bromine, we are expecting around 20%-25%.
Okay, okay. And my second question is related to the lease, you know, because as a shareholder, the big concern for us, you know, is that renewal of lease, actually. So if you can give us some clarity on where we are right now, and how do you see this, you know, lease renewals going forward for the company?
Yeah. So I think, as we continue to operate in Gujarat, you know, as you know, they do have one of the most robust industrial policies and support of industry. And I think, we continue to believe that the government is evaluating the whole industry, not just our lease. There are many pending, and we think the government is working on, I think, sorting out and closing a lot of these open points. And we get a lot of support from them as well, the administration. So it is a work in progress. That's the pointed answer. And we hope, you know, it will be done sooner than later. Because like I said, it's just not us. There are a lot of them pending.
Okay. But based on your interaction, you know, with the authorities, you know, any timelines actually, you know, you would like to actually, you know, share that by when this can be, you know, you can hear some outcome on this?
As I said, I think it's always been a productive dialogue with the government and administration. This is not a new industry as such. I think the subject the government has dealt with for many decades, and they continue to support all businesses at the ground level from a state perspective. So I wouldn't venture in putting a timeline on it, but I would say that we remain confident that, you know, it'll happen sooner than later.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request you to rejoin the question queue, please?
Sure, sure.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is from the line of Alok Ranjan from 361 AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just clarification on these foreign hydrocarbons. Although you have indicated quite a lot on the business, but this 20-30 crore which will be needed to invest into the company for the revamp, whether this business is more capital intensive or how is it, any comments on that? Like how is the asset turns in this business?
So I don't think it is capital intensive. Rajiv wants to take the answer. Okay, question.
Yeah, I'll take that question. So it is like sir said, it is not capital intensive, Aloki. Post this 20-30 crore of investment, which will be required to refurbish the plants and make most of the assets operational, the day-to-day maintenance capex requirement won't be much.
Got it. Perfect. And last question is, we have also created a new subsidiary company, SIC SEM Private Limited, which is under this Neon Infra Private Limited. Any color that you can give, like what will be the purpose of this company? Anything that you can share at this point?
I think we'll probably wait for some things to happen. Then we'll provide clarity. But it has been incorporated with the purpose, as you know, similar to what we had done with Idealis when we created that subsidiary. So there is a plan, and I think at the moment it's a bit premature for us to talk about it. But in due course, we will inform all stakeholders appropriately. Not to worry.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was onto the flame retardant side. Sir, almost around 90% of the volume are contracted. So whenever the business starts, so during the first year itself, so we can see that business is so reaching peak utilization level.
I think on the flame retardant business, that is phase two. So I think if I were you, I would expect the revenues to start kicking in conservatively in FY26.
Correct. So whenever that starts, so just my point was that, so will it run at around 90-95%?
So I'll take this question. We have indicated that we, for the current year, the inorganic chemicals, we expect it to start at 70%. And flame retardant also, we expect that from the first year, it will start at 60-70% capacity utilization, and then it will ramp up from there.
Okay. And so second question was onto the destocking side. So still many of the agrochemical companies are indicating that so destocking is going on, and they are still struggling onto the numbers. Have we also like faced any sort of headwinds?
I think agrochemical companies obviously have a very large setup. They have a very large geographical exposure to around the world. I think some part of it is related also to weather and seasonal patterns around the world. So I think we are in context, you know, a smaller subset player. So I don't really know about the destocking part per se about their own products, but at least from what we hear from our buyers, I think I think it's stabilized far better now than over the last couple of quarters. and I think the worst case scenario would be that it continues at this level. The best case scenario would be that there is some tailwind from either weather or from demand, or a combination of both. So I think we have to see how it plays out.
Any near-term views, sir, if you can share, so this will continue or this is the end, like we are standing at the bottom? Just a view from your side.
I think I'm very wary of sharing a view, simply because I think it is easy to be mistaken as a reality. So I think, like I said, I think our own view as a company is to be conservative. We plan for the worst-case scenario and prepare ourselves accordingly in terms of how we run our business on cost, production, efficiency, etc. So I think, like I said in my earlier comments on this call, I think that will continue to be our focus. Our focus is on what we do and how we do it well, and keep delivering on what we are doing.
Thank you, sir. So may we request you to join the question queue, please? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. So, one question, if I have heard correctly, in your initial remark, you have indicated about there has been some additional inquiries about the business in the grooming side, but you said that it is not sustainable. So just wanted to understand why we cannot capitalize on that, and what is the competition level we have in terms of capitalizing those inquiries?
No, I think all inquiries will be pursued obviously vigorously, because today, you know, everyone's competing for the business. So I don't think there's only going to be any shortage of effort and action on our side. I think I was merely referring to the fact that we can't base the business on what could happen and how good the prices could be. I think our business has always been a large part of it contracted, but we do leave some part percentage of our production into the spot market. So I think if there were an upsurge in the prices, we do have quantity to be able to take advantage of any such uptick in those prices. So we don't leave anything on the table as such.
Okay. And secondly, on the domestic and export side, I would say, hearing to a lot of other chemical companies also looking at their numbers, I mean, indicating that the domestic part is quite good as of now, as we are seeing a lot of disturbance in the global market. And since we have higher exposure on export side, how we are looking at this domestic market for us, especially for the industrial salt also, why it, because currently almost 100% is for the export market. So is there any scope for us to expand in the domestic market also, and how basically we are seeing the opportunity in the domestic market?
So I think for us, the domestic market will primarily be bromine related and potash related. We don't have any intention of doing any industrial salt in the domestic market. So most of our volume is already contracted for exports. And as a company, as an entire company, I think we will continue to be predominantly export oriented. So I think that will continue. That won't change. There won't be a greater domestic mix as a company. Product portfolios, like I said, salt will not be domestic.
Okay. Any specific reason for that, and why we are not looking at domestic market for this?
I think the grade that we supply is preferred by the overseas markets, not necessarily required locally. And I think, as I said, most of our volume is already contracted out, so we have never positioned it as a domestic supply. So I think we are comfortable with what we produce and what we sell in the export market.
Okay. Last question on just margin side, I missed out that currently around what 35-40% kind of EBITDA margin is what we are indicating, and with this derivative segment coming up, what should be the margin, I mean overall combined margin level we would be looking at?
I think as my colleague Rajan mentioned, I think overall combined we will stay within that range.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, and that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. The first is on the salt business. So the salt transit of this quarter is about 1.3 million metric tons that you mentioned. So is this a sustainable run rate going into FY25, or were there, let's say, orders for this quarter specifically?
I think, thank you, Krishna, for the question. I think the run rate should be maintained, give or take a couple of 100,000 tons. Like I said, salt is largely contracted out. So generally, if you see the quarter-on-quarter performance in monsoon season, there will generally be a little bit of a dip. And then third quarter, fourth quarter, generally, you know, it peaks. So if you normalize it, I think the 4 million tons plus is, I think, sustainable per year.
Understood. And on the Oren hydrocarbon, so I think the liquidation reserve price was about 90 odd crores. So how much did we pay for that?
I think it failed on the first liquidation, but I think Ms. Dagnathan maybe can specify what we have done.
The bidding price was 76.55 crores.
Sorry?
76.55,
I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Here are the two questions, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining us in this earnings call. We appreciate your time and showing interest in our company as always. We're happy with the questions we got and the clarifications we have provided. I hope it's the same for you. In case of any further queries, of course, you can always get in touch with us or SJ, our investor relations advisors. And we look forward to meeting all of you over the next call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of RKN Chemical Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.